Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 304 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Carson.
I'm Elise.
We got Elise, we got Carson, two of our most awesome hosts here in the studio today. Welcome, guys. How are we feeling? Carson, you're back on the podcast. Old hat for you.
I know. It's so exciting, though. I love coming here. Yeah. And we're in a new studio. Yay.
Yeah, this is the first time you're seeing our little space, and you guys are both seem to be excited about it.
I'm excited. I'm not at work right now. I'm excited.
Yeah, work. Regular work.
Ew.
So, Elise, I would like to introduce you to our podcast listeners. You're a regular host. You've been with us for a little while now.
Yeah, I think since March is when I started the whole process.
Couple more months until the big anniversary.
I know.
What's kind of one of your favorite host moments or stories that you have from being out in the field?
Oh geez, putting me on the spot.
I did warn you about any of this. I did warn you before we started that I was going to put you on the spot to start.
Yeah, this is true. I would say, last week at Boundary Stone, I had like 66 people. It was really huge and we had a really good time and I made a very bopping Christmas playlist and I was really excited about it.
Awesome.
That's always funny. Whenever I host and I have my music set up, I have kind of a standard music set up. With just stuff that's on my iPad or on my phone rather than worrying about radio stations or anything else. It's just easy. I know it. It's good. All the songs are good. I'm happy with it.
I have two playlists that I routinely just switch between.
Right. Yeah, and I do exactly the same thing. And I walked in and the manager, after doing there for 3 months in a row or something like that, the manager goes, look, I can tell you exactly, you know, song by song, minute by minute, exactly what the next thing is on your playlist. It's time for a new playlist. So I started something else and I walked away and he came up to me and he goes, no Christmas. I forgot. No Christmas music, no holiday music. I don't want any more of that. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to be more specific. And then I went back to my original and he was happy with that.
I like to, sometimes I'll just like keep adding songs to it. So I like refresh it every once in a while. So my regulars are like, I heard a new song this week. And I'm like, I decided to add a new song this week.
Those damn trivia players and they're paying attention and retaining information.
Mine is just Miley Cyrus on loop for 3 hours. So.
I mean,
you can't
she came
stop
in like a
and you won't stop because
exactly.
She came in like a wrecking ball.
Exactly.
No, I was Wednesday. I filled in at Homestead, and the bar staff was very happy that I put on some brandy, and they
Ooh.
Got really excited about that and said, "Please play more." So I'm like, okay, we'll roll with it.
Just a straight brandy playlist.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a whole brandy theme night, and I don't think they would have cared. They were very excited about that.
Did it have brandy and Monica?
I didn't get to that because we went on to more 90s R&B, Mary J. Blige, yeah. Some SWV, but you know, we were feeling the 90s ladies.
I met them a couple of years ago.
What?
Like a year and a half ago. Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
So did you, Lindsay. They were on the TV show the same time we were.
That does not count as meeting them.
Yeah. We were both in the studio. We were getting ready to go on. We were both in the green room and we talked to them for like 15 minutes.
I don't think I was there.
You were definitely there. You were 100% there.
Huh.
You don't know who SWV is, do you?
I don't.
Okay, that's probably why you don't
remember.
Sisters
with Voices.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they're great.
Yeah, they're really nice people, and the managers were great guys, and yeah, super nice.
Just way over my head. This is a new rule. If we're in the vicinity of somebody that I should know who they are, you need to like slip me a note like on Veep or something. Like, hey, this is this person.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I would like Carson to kick us off with your interesting fact. We're going to go right into it. We're all going to guess. It's going to be great.
Okay, so starting off, I have a music fact because that's
of course kinda, you do.
That's what I do.
which you could have made a perfect segue, music to music.
Right.
We're doing.
He tried to until you got in the way.
Oh, you're right. It's music to my ears, your
Ooh.
Fact. Okay, I'll be better.
Well, my fun fact is a Christmas music fact. So
Ooh.
Even better. What is the only holiday song to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100? Like the only Christmas song.
If it's not Mariah Carey, I don't understand.
It's not Mariah Carey. I know it's not because I just saw a fact that she is the All I Want for Christmas Is You is the only song to have charted in the top 10 every year since its introduction in 1994. So it comes back and it goes back into the top 10 every year, but it's never hit number one.
Nope, it's never hit number one.
Yeah.
Well, that would obviously,
that
I think, be my guess.
Tragic.
It really is. It's a great song. All right, so the only Christmas song to hit number one is it?
I'm honestly going through my playlist right now.
But you're looking, you're physically looking for it. Is it like a traditional Christmas song, or is it a contemporary, like an All I Want for Christmas Is You? Or do you not want to tell me?
Recent, old.
It's definitely not recent. It's definitely not recent, but it's...
Jingle Bell Rock.
That's
a
great
I have
guess.
A guess.
No, what is your guess?
She's going to guess Baby It's Cold Outside.
I wasn't going to guess Baby It's Cold Outside.
Just the look on your face.
No, the people close to me know my disdain for this song.
Okay.
I hate it. It comes on and my muscles clench. I get angry. I don't know why. It just has a visceral reaction with me. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
No, that's not
thank
it either.
Thank goodness.
Right. And that's not actually the worst Christmas song. Have you heard I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
Oh, I love it.
That's pretty,
that
pretty
bad.
What?
Bad
I love it. It's great. No. There's a lot. I learned about the plural of hippopotamuses from that song.
Hippopotami?
Hippopotamuses. That's what the song says. So don't lie to me, song. okay, so I'm happy that I'm wrong because I hate that song so much.
I wanted to say Jingle Bell Rock. Is it not Jingle Bell
it's
Rock?
Not Jingle Bell Rock.
Is it Baby
Rocking though? Around the Christmas Tree?
No, and that's actually a great guess, too. And it's not Baby It's Cold Outside. So something to note, too, is that holiday songs are weird because generally there's periods where Billboard wouldn't allow Christmas songs to chart. They did a whole separate, Christmas songs list. So
get it together, Billboard.
From 63 to 72 and from 83 to 85, no Christmas songs could chart. Mm-hmm. And then for a while, old stuff couldn't, chart again. So if, Rockin' on the Christmas Tree became really big again in, the 90s, it wouldn't chart because it was... from the 60s.
So you're saying it's post-90s?
So nowadays they allow older songs to rechart if it has a big enough following gain for some reason.
Sure.
So Rockin' on the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee always charts around this time. But
how about White Christmas?
No.
Back to the original.
And yeah. I will tell you that this happened in 1958.
What a Wonderful World.
No.
That's a great guess.
Thank you.
You know what? The last, I'm surprised, Lindsay.
You always are surprised.
I really am.
No, you've been good on the guesses.
Is it the Christmas song, Nat King Cole?
Nope, and that's a great Christmas song, and should have reached number one.
That one is a great Christmas song.
You know what?
Song.
We've done a couple of music facts in the last few weeks, so I'm going with Bohemian Rhapsody. That seems to be the answer.
Bohemian Rhapsody is always the answer, but not today.
Okay.
Womp, womp.
What has Frank Sinatra done? What did he do? Is it... Frank Sinatra song?
I don't think Frank Sinatra's ever recorded this song because it's not like a hymn or anything. It's more of a novelty Christmas song.
A novelty? Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
No, but that's, you're thinking the right track of something weird Christmas.
It's a novelty Christmas. I got it. I know what it is.
It's a novelty Christmas song. Okay.
I just want. A hula hoop.
You are correct. Oh. Ding, ding, ding.
I love it.
Okay, we can stop the singing
I love the
right now.
So the Chipmunk song by David Seville and the Chipmunks.
I could do my Chipmunk voice, but I will spare you all.
I would like to hear it immediately.
Actually, I would love to hear some Chipmunk
voice. I want a hula hoop.
Wow.
What? That's so good.
That was actually really good.
That was really incredible. That was really good.
Yeah. I think that's my one skill.
Yeah. Well, you subtly brought it up. I don't really want to do it, but we all know you really wanted to show us off.
So, the Chipmunks song, in parentheses, Christmas Don't Be Late by David Seville and the Chipmunks, went to number one for 4 weeks back in 1958. It's the only time this Christmas song reached number one. All Up to Christmas You, Mariah Carey, reached number six.
Mm.
And then the only other sort of holiday-ish songs that have reached top 10 would be Kenny G's Auld Lang Syne from the year 2000. This one's for the children by the one and only New Kids on the Block from 1990. And then reaching number nine in 1991, Same Old Lang Syne by Dan Fogelberg.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Wow, that is a very appropriate timed fact.
There
Carson,
you go.
If you're celebrating Christmas this week, I hope you have a very merry, jolly one.
I am, so thank you so much.
Yeah, and get a hippopotamus.
and your two front teeth.
Yeah.
So my interesting fact is also Christmas related.
Oh, it
just happened.
I'm sensing a theme. And I'd also like to say by the time we get to my fact, there is not going to be a segue to it. So
all right,
I'm sure you can make one.
So Operation Santa Claus. Are you familiar?
It rings a bell in my head, but I can't place it.
Anybody?
No. Yes, but also
you're not talking about the Santa tracking where they track where he's.
No, okay. That is a great guess, but we've already
is
done
it
that.
Like
fact.
A charity thing.
It is so essentially, it's basically the United States Postal Service and their holiday responding to Santa Claus Christmas letters that kids send in.
Is this about the tweet?
No,
that UPS
not about the
put out, and they were like, "Don't worry, we'll shred your kids' Santa letters." That's seriously UPS, or yeah, I think it was UPS tweeted out like, "Hey guys, don't worry, we're gonna shred them for you," and it didn't go over well.
Yeah, I would think
nope,
so.
Nope, that sounds bad.
So it was started by United States Postmaster General Frank Hitchcock, the famous Frank Hitchcock that everybody knows about, right? Obviously. What year did it begin? And it originally began as they started getting these letters, and then they created an actual North Pole mailing address where you could send your Christmas letters, and then they would get volunteers to respond to all of the kids' letters.
Did they have a specific zip code?
They did have it. So the North Pole, the actual address is North Pole 4141 Postmark Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99530.
Okay, that's funny that it has an actual number zip code, because I read the other day in Canada they do the same thing, but in Canada the zip code is ho, ho, ho. Like, it's...
Okay.
And it's just a fictional address that
that's
they go
good.
To. So.
Right, that the machines recognize and sort through and
right.
get to where it goes. So, yeah, my question is, what year did that start? What year did Operation Santa Claus start?
Well, it's going to be after Alaska became a state.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, they didn't start with Alaska's a postmark. They started originally simply by responding to the letters and getting volunteers, and then over the years, it has grown into that.
So it started before Alaska became a state?
No, I think it still started after, because I think for a while they were able to handle the volume, like the post office itself was able to handle the volume of letters, and then it got out of hand, and then they had to create a spot for them just to generate to.
Yep.
So I think it's later, but not like, I'm going to go with 1987.
Good year. It's the year you were born, wasn't it? No.
It was not the year I was born.
I'm so old.
It was not the year I was born. I have no real logic to say with this fact.
So you're guessing 1868?
1886. Yes. 1886 is my guess. No, I'm going to go with 1967.
1967, just for the heck of it.
Yeah, I know. I feel good about that year. Some stuff happened.
I feel like it was a good year. If I went back in time, I'd go back to 1967.
Yeah, minus the whole Vietnam thing, but, you know, we put that
aside. The start
aside.
Of the Apollo programs. And
the moon was
the moon.
Enthusiastic.
You got hippie movement going strong.
The Beatles were still a band.
Yeah.
I mean, in 1987, though, you had Tiffany and Debbie Gibson, so Beatles, Tiffany, I don't know.
Sorry, Elise, I have a very, I don't want to say strong hatred, but I dislike the Beatles, and I get a lot of crap for it pretty constantly, which is maybe why.
Should.
We cannot talk about it.
I know. Well, I made this face like, oh, yeah.
So is that
disgust.
Why you hate Wonderful Christmas Time? Because
it might
Paul McCartney?
Be. It might be. I've said this before, but when he goes R.I.P., I get what he did for music, but I'm going to have to stay off the radio for a really long time. Okay, so 1967, locking it in.
Okay, and what was your guess?
I'll go with 1955.
1955. Ooh. All right, so you are all way over. It was actually started in 1912.
Whoa.
It was 1912 what? Because all of the, they started going, all the letters started going to Santa Claus, Indiana. And then that sort of became the first hub for stage one. And then from there, they created the actual North Pole address and continue moving forward. But yeah, it's been over 100 years that they've been doing Operation Santa Claus.
Wow. We were
and it no longer requires volunteers because the volume is just absolutely outrageous.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So yeah, if you sent your letter to Santa Claus, it probably either went to Indiana or Alaska.
I've been to the North Pole, Alaska, actually.
Have you really?
Yeah, I'll dig up an old picture of me and Santa Claus in Alaska, but I didn't see any letters while I was there.
Okay, but that's kept in a separate room.
Yeah, they have reindeer, though.
Yeah.
And by the way, the tweet, I found it. It was at the UPS store, and the tweet said, and I'm quoting, "If your child addresses a letter to the North Pole, you can leave it with us. We do shredding." And that was just the tweet.
Oh, that's so bad.
Happy holidays from the
I feel
UPS.
Like I know where they come from. I don't know. I can understand. If I worked at the UPS store, I mean, I'd get it.
The holidays are a lot of fun as long as you're not in the holiday industry.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure it would drive you insane.
Exactly.
All right, Elise, you're up.
I'm up. Okay, mine is a New Year's fact.
New Year's fact. Okay, so we're a week away from New Year's.
Yes. So I was searching for, you know, kind of traditions as far as like New York does the ball drop. Other places drop other things. So in a town called Princess Anne, Maryland, they drop something specific.
Oh.
And what is it?
What is the thing that they drop in? Okay, where in Maryland is this town?
It's on the Chesapeake Bay. Oh. So it's like, you know, in Somerset County, Chesapeake Bay. It's kind of like.
So this ties into one of the previous questions that we've constantly brought up on the podcast as far as what is the best thing, what is the best animal to drop on an enemy?
Oh, yes. In wartime.
So this is just a slight variation of that. What would be the best thing to drop on a ball drop?
You know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
Oh, okay.
What? Why? Did I say something? Is it an animal? It's a crab. It has to be a crab because it's Chesapeake Bay. So they drop
other
like a bushel of blue crabs.
Other places in the Chesapeake Bay do drop crabs.
Okay.
This specific town drops something else.
Okay. Hmm. So it's an animal.
It looks.
Yeah, it's an animal. Okay. I would think like a bushel of blue crabs.
All right.
So,
Carson?
But that's not it.
I should know this too. Like, I grew up in Maryland.
Why should you know this?
Because I've read about this. It's weird. Like, I've read about it. I know where Princess Anne is on the map, but I've.
They drop an animal?
It's weird.
Is it a live animal?
It's not live. It is indeed stuffed.
Is that better or worse?
Do they drop a turkey?
No.
Okay. I thought for a second there. I was like, okay.
Lindsay?
I've been thinking a lot about various animals, and I would like to see a big animal get dropped, like a bear, or
that'd be
some
dope.
Kind of large cat, perhaps a tiger or
lions,
a lion.
Tigers, and bears, oh my?
Exactly.
That'd be real dope. It's not right. That.
No, I want it to be, and I know that would be a silly guess.
So the state dog of Maryland is the Chesapeake Bay Retriever. So is it a stuffed Chesapeake Bay Retriever?
It is not.
It is not. Okay.
Does it count if they release birds? Like, is it a raven?
It's not a bird. It is.
Do birds drop or they just fall?
Well, it's a stuffed bird, so it would definitely fall.
Oh, I was picturing a live animal in a cage they opened.
Right. No. Yeah. She said it was stuffed.
It's not live. It is stuffed.
A penguin.
Why a penguin?
It's a winter-related bird.
Okay.
I mean, in the sense that they like cold.
Cold, yeah. And winter is cold.
It's kind of a chunkier version of a raven in the sense that they both are black.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not body shaming penguins, to be clear. I think they're great, and I love them. And I love ravens, too, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to get it.
You literally will not guess.
Okay.
Just what we want in our fact, something unguessable.
It is a muskrat.
I love muskrats.
His name is Marshall P. Muskrat.
Okay.
So I'm just going to quote from the Chesapeake Bay Magazine. Since 2012, Marshall P. Muskrat, an elegant stuffed specimen sporting a top hat and cape, has rung in the new year with a rather formal entrance while riding a piece of driftwood suspended on a clear plexiglass table, which sails in over Somerset Avenue at midnight as the crowd cheers.
Why a muskrat?
I really didn't. I wish I would have dug a little farther into why, but I actually don't think there is a why.
I think it's more of a why not.
Yeah.
I mean, why not for the muskrat?
So there's a Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/midnightmuskratdive. And you can go to the Facebook page, and they have like a little banner, and you can see Marshall P. Muskrat in his top hat and his cape.
What is a muskrat?
It's like a little.
It's an aquatic mammal.
Like an otter?
I'd say it's like gopher badgery. Like.
I just looked it up. It's kind of like a beaver.
Yeah.
They got really long.
A skinnier beaver, but not much skinnier.
They are very, very fast swimmers. We used to have them in like the streams back home, and they are so fast.
Why do you like muskrats? You were so excited about muskrats.
I just think they're cool. They're tiny. They're fast. I've seen them. It's always a big deal when you spot them. At least I thought it was a big deal. And I think they're cute and kind of cuddly. And I think you know, beavers kind of have become the aquatic mammals showgirls. You know, they're the ones that are out front, center stage. Beavers get a lot of love, a
you
lot of
so?
Attention.
I yeah, would th- I think I would think it'd be a sea otter.
I think it'd be the otter. Yeah. The otters get so much love.
But overall, you think otters are more prolific than beavers?
I would think so, yeah.
On the
have
course
of
history?
Have you seen the video of the otter
well,
playing
well,
basketball?
Well, look, we're here in America. We're not in Canada.
Well, it depends on
so.
What... I mean, in the 90s, there was that TV show, Angry Beavers, so maybe for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, in the 70s, there was a song Muskrat Loves, and 70s were muskrats bigger. Like, I don't know.
Is it a generational thing?
Yeah.
I want to be very clear. I am... pro otter videos. Sure. I have shared at least 6 otter videos in the last 3 days.
In the office.
That's yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Lindsay, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
This is actually your intervention.
I actually would like to read a otter-related headline from the Oregonian from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
As someone who used to live in, I used to live in Oregon. I still follow all these. Here's the headline. Oregon Zoo otter, known for slam dunking and self-pleasuring, dies at age 20.
Yep.
R.I.P. And also...
Eddie the otter, R.I.P.
Yeah. I watched a lot of videos about Eddie, which is probably the uptick in my otter-related sharing,
yeah.
R.I.P.
So last night, literally last night, the night before we recorded this podcast, my wife and I were sitting on the couch, and we had already put the kids to bed, and we were just talking to each other, and she looked down at her phone. She got an alert and looked down at her phone, and she went... oh, I'm so sad. And I'm like, why? And she goes, Eddie the otter died. And I'm like, why on earth do you have automatic updates being pushed to your phone to let you know about Eddie's well-being? That's an odd thing. But yeah, I found out about that about 10 minutes after it happened. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's upsetting. And you're welcome, because this is our sort of holiday edition. And we're bringing you down just as you are experiencing such great joy. I will say, I think we have a recency bias that otters have become more popular lately, but overall, beavers are more popular, and I'll stand by that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there aren't a whole lot of schools named after, like, mascots named after otters.
True.
Are
true,
there? Yeah. That would be a good
there's no we otter
do not,
state.
We do not get into mascot-related questions, as previous research has taught us.
Well, I'm just saying, it'd be a good benchmark, is that are there more otter or beaver mascots?
Yeah. Yes. I want to go into my fact, because I'm sure. The last one, and we are running short on time here. So I had a fact that was related to diseases and sexually transmitted infections or diseases. I don't know what the technical term is now, and I don't mean to think. But I'm going to save that for next week, because we're running out of time. So I'm going to stick with an animal fact, make an easy little segue here. So back in ancient Greece, a long time ago.
I remember it well.
Yes. Way back in the day. They obviously had, you know, big old gods and giant people. And they were basing these myths and basing them on skeletons that they found throughout their
okay,
land.
Okay, so they would
right?
find
so,
fossils and it'd yeah. be a person who was like 8 foot tall. And
yeah.
Hence
and they,
Goliath.
Yeah. So specifically, I'm looking for what animal... led them, or at least this is what scientists believe and paleontologists believe, to come up with Cyclops. So that's my question. So they encountered what type of animal skull that they might have mistaken and eventually derived the myth of Cyclops from.
Is it that weird fish with, like, the light?
That fish was not known to be on land in Greece, but I guess it...
Oh, it's a land animal.
Been. Yeah.
It is a land animal for sure.
Carson,
you're looking at me. I don't know. What's what kind of animals live in Greece? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, I mean they are. The last time I was in Greece, I was in Athens, and I was out in the countryside. There aren't a whole lot of animals in general that I noticed around the last time I was there.
A goat.
A goat? No.
But that's a good
that's
guess.
That's a good
though.
Guess, yeah.
And this
Greece.
Was as far back as the 1370s. Scholars have suggested that this first inhabitants it was because of this. So this is a well-known
what
origin
of
the Cyclops myth.
What kind of animal would result in a single-eyed?
So a unicorn, right? Definitely.
I mean, I was going to go with unicorn as well.
It's Greece. It's not Scotland.
You're on the right track in thinking of what type of animal skull would, if you looked at it and you found it, oh, this animal has one eye, or this human has one eye. That's how I would look at it.
I'm going about this a different route. I'm going to take a different tack.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go a different way. So the Cyclops were giants.
Correct.
Right? They had one eye, but they were giants. So it has to be a giant land-based animal. So I'm going to go with elephant.
Anybody else?
I'll go with a... Well, I was going to say giraffe, but giraffe in Greece seems odd. But
well, you got to think of it this way. It's fossils. It's finding stuff that's weird and shouldn't be there.
That's
so
true.
Nobody would have seen a giraffe.
Yeah, that I'll go with giraffe because there are also those weird like giraffe like horse hybrids that are like okapis, okapis.
Okapi.
Yeah. Sure. So like giraffe. We'll go with giraffe.
Okay, giraffe.
Maybe like a dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Oh, they found like dinosaur bones. That's fossils. That makes a lot more sense than
like
either of our guesses.
Like a triceratops, but that wouldn't be a triceratops.
Except I gave the clue that 1370s they knew this animal and dinosaurs
it
weren't
still
around
still existed,
till,
yeah.
Wait, dinosaurs weren't around until when? Finish that sentence. No. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, the 1370 is too early for dinosaurs. Go ahead.
No, that's not what I was saying. The term dinosaur in 19th century. Anyway, you are correct, Nick. It is elephant.
Oh.
It is
ding,
correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Good for me.
Yeah, so they encountered these. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. They encountered these giant elephant skulls, and they mistook the large central hole where the trunk was as the single eye socket of the Cyclops.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so just kind of a roundabout thing. I think, though, that we're going to wrap it up.
Sounds good.
You guys are going to be back next week.
Yeah.
Our last episode of 2018 as we ring in 2019. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, the next episode comes out when? New Year's Eve, right?
New Year's Eve.
All right.
Ooh, going out with a bang.
Yeah.
So after we do next week's podcast, we'll just go get drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which works for me.
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Carson.
I'm Elise.
We don't know either.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, we did the closing. We had a great time. But what did we forget?
The secret phrase.
Yeah, we all know that we need a secret phrase. This is something that earns folks five bonus points.
They need those bonus points.
Yeah, so I would like to have Carson pick a word. One word.
Any word?
Any word.
I'm going to say toaster.
Toaster? Elise, pick a word. Any word.
Barf.
Okay, that's not where I would have... That's not the word, but toaster barf is going to be your secret phrase... Toaster barf.
Now here's the real question. Are we going to put this after the closing music?
Yes.
All right.
No. It will be immediately after the end.
After the buys.
I'll probably put like a little beep noise in. Beep. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to edit it, but it will be in. It will be contained. Toaster barf will be your secret phrase. Happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
We won't forget next week. We promise.
We promise.
We don't know either.
We don't know either. Bye. Ha ha.